Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Kick it.
All right, welcome back to The Creep Dive.
This is a podcast
brought to you by
The Creep Dive.
There's three of us. I'm Jen O-D-W-Y-E-R. That's Cassandra Delaney.
And over there is best-selling author Sophie White.
Award-winning author Sophie White.
And you are what was once a top under 30.
I'll give you a good one. I won an award this week.
Well, congrats. Why didn't you tell
Thank
us?
Thank you. I only got the email yesterday.
Cass.
I am the most influential CEO in the Republic of Ireland for content creation. CEO Monthly Magazine have awarded me that accolade, and that is not reflected in how busy I am. But I think this is going to be great for business.
Cass,
that's so good. That's a little fool of us.
And thank welcome. Are we going out? Is there an awards ceremony?
I don't think so. I think they send something to my house.
Will your picture be in the magazine?
My picture will be in the CEO Monthly.
Do you have to subscribe in order to get the copy?
I don't know. I actually was going to email back and be like, do I have to buy the magazine? Because I don't know anywhere
I
that would
cannot
stop this.
Afford this.
Yeah.
Well done, Cass. And I've got a really hilarious creep of the week.
Go on.
Now, if you're like me and you're on TikTok and you're watching the same shit that I watch, you'll definitely have come across this creator before. He's a bearded man in America who specializes in receiving phone footage of people behaving badly. And then he says to his audience, let's get him.
Like vigilante.
And they kind of identify him. Now, he often will talk about being in contact with the police where the incident occurred.
Very 4chan adjacent.
It's very interesting. And it's going to happen to him.
Is he doxing them then?
Yeah.
And let's get him.
Yeah.
So basically he is doing what the old kind of cowboys used to do when they were like getting their posse together.
Well, he's putting a bounty on people's heads.
Yeah.
Now it'll happen.
Now, is the bounty monetary or is it clout?
It's monetary.
Social media clout.
In the sense that he's monetized his account.
Yeah, but for the people who are up for the bounty, they just get the likes.
They get the likes and it'll also be monetized by them because often if they're TikTok creators, they'll get tagged. It's a whole scene. My whole story, both stories today are all internet vigilantism.
Oh, what's his account? I love that.
His account is, if you're on the Tickety Talk,
scalp them while they're young.
No, how creepy. That could end in a dark place. This is at Tizzy ENT, TIZZYENT. So his story today is by far the weirdest thing that he's ever, the weirdest little piece of CCTV that has ever been brought to him. An example of his last massive one was a young man kicks a dog.
Oh, relatable.
No.
No. And they go find the young man, right?
Sorry, oh update. Just quick little update there now for the Creep Life fans who were interested. I did get a puppy.
Dog.
I got
How did
a dog.
We not talk about this?
Yeah, I have a new dog. Her name is Suki. Oh. I wanted to call her Spooky because she looks like a little ghost. Cause she's a really pale little golden retriever.
I was going to suggest she's little you call now. Her Snow.
Snow. That's on the nose. No.
She is divine. She's but you've gorgeous. Ruined your life.
I have ruined my life. Yeah.
She's a little blonde.
She's very blonde, beauty. Very Aryan. She is stunning.
It'll keep you in the house, Cass.
It is keeping me in the house. I was down in Wexford last week with her. I'm going to take her to Clare next week. I keep dog sitting. You see, that's the thing now when you're
that's a whole career.
Alone and you're in your 30s is everyone's like, you're available to mind dogs.
Yeah. So and if you've got your own.
I've got my own.
You're minding your own anyway.
Yeah.
Welcome, Suki, the newest
she
member does, of the Creep Dog
family.
She
answers to spooks.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Okay, come back with me for momentarily. As Tizzy Ents himself says, this is the strangest video he has ever had to make.
So this is the new one.
So this is the most recent. It was only yesterday and there's not been one since. So we are in Texas. A woman has gotten in touch with a little piece of CCTV. The woman in question has a beautiful, small antiques store. The CCTV is some of the most in-focus footage I have ever seen. High quality.
Suspiciously so? Again,
no, because cameras have evolved so much that if you can shoot like 4K on your phone, why were CCTV cameras so shit anyway?
And still to this day, any alien / Bigfoot footage, blurry.
Very, very
Nokia
grainy.
64.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Even they didn't even know they had videos. They're just like a series of photographs pieced together.
Yeah.
Taken on a disposable camera.
Stop motion disposable camera footage.
How in black and white.
Yeah.
So she was having a normal day.
In her tiny, beautiful antique store.
When a couple arrive in and they seem perfectly fine. The guy is the person in question here. He's dressed in a kind of iconic way. In that he is kind of a beefy, bald man. He's in a nice t-shirt and he's wearing a kilt, a very nice looking kilt, like a kind of green colour.
Does he have a spodden?
No spodden, but it looks kind of like a designery type kilt to me and a big boot and no tights.
It sounds very Alexander McQueen.
I agree. So she says to herself in the store, I'm sure she does, these people look interesting and they're just cruising around her little gaff. And she's like, Grant, just let me know if you need anything. I'll help you out with anything. And she didn't really notice anything weird happening as it was happening. It was only after the fact that she went looked back on the old CC television and said to herself, oh my God. So the scene opens. CCTV camera is up high. There's a kind of a object of interesting table in the middle and a little walk around with objects kind of on the wall. It's a very small room. A man enters on the right hand side in his black tank kilt, looking at things, you know,
with interest, browsing
with interest. He arrives to, now I'm not exactly sure what these things are, but they look like they're hanging. It could be a sort of vintage kitchen utensil. It's got kind of a black handle, straight handle. They're all hanging up. We can't see what's on the other end, but it's the handle that the man's after. So he picks up one of these things. Imagine like the back end of a hairbrush, not Jesus. The spiky end.
Is he a keen fister or something?
Oh, so he inspects it. He inspects it. He looks up. A hand goes in to rise up the back of the kilt. First of all, he hides behind the trestle table that has a bunch of kind of tall objects on it. And you can see his face through an antique birdhouse. And the only way to describe his face is if you've ever met a toddler, a nappy wearing individual, and they do a shite in the same room as you do. He assumed the position.
Oh my God, like squatty.
So he goes down. He kind of, the arm that's holding the hairbrush utensil is clearly going behind him.
In the rear.
It's going up the rear. You can see through the birdcage that he is doing a small strain and a kind of exhale as something, and he's down, hunkering down. He's pushing. There is, make no mistake, this man looks very much like he is inserting this thing into his bum. Out it comes, cool as day.
Okay, right, I've got it.
Out it comes, and he goes back over to
the wall,
and he hangs it back in the position it was in before.
That is such a specific kink.
So you can hear, because there's audio on the CCTV, that the partner he's with his woman. You can hear her sort of, you know, happily doing a normal chatty chat. And as he places the thing back on, you say to yourself, okay, that may not have been what it looked like. That, look, it could, we could be looking at this all wrong. This could be an innocent individual after all. But he says, I'm not done here. He places the first utensil back. He goes around the back of the bird cage. He spots something else that tickles his fancy. He lifts up the next utensil. Very hard.
And I will say his attire stunning. Lends, it's stunning, but is lending itself to someone who wants easy access
to the skirt.
Yeah.
Well considered sartorial choice.
This man is a professional.
Sartorial. No, it's very weak. Good. It's weak. Thanks for trying to make me feel better. Yeah, that's, yeah.
Same. So the next object he picks up, I'd say, is a spoon, vintage spoon. It's hard to say. Again, spoon,
very sharp.
He edges. This time enters from the rear, but to the left of the bird cage, which gives us a better sense of what's happening. First things first, he hikes his leg up.
Oh.
Wait till you see this. He does a little hike up. Whoop. Spread the cheeks, and in the back it goes. He does a little side to side. He's rummaging. He's got it up. He's doing that kind of face. And that one's quicker that time.
Oh, it's out again.
And it's exactly placed back. He, at this point, is being called by his partner in the CCTV. So he returns to her, and the gig, the hunt begins.
Now, this
video went up, and within 20 minutes. Now, there's millions of comments on this, but the person has been identified immediately. Now, this is all speculative still, because we don't know for sure whether the person who's been identified in the TikTok comments is in fact the perpetrator of the spoon analing. But he is such a unique looking individual. If he is in fact not the person I'm about to show you now, it would be remarkable. And a very, very, very sad misunderstanding. So there exists in America a Christian rock band by the name of Hush Harbor. And in that Christian rock band, there is a man whose name is, I can't find here.
Perry McDaniel.
Perry McDaniel Cass, very good.
It's probably defamation, but he's not going to listen. I don't think any of the Christians.
I don't think they're in here. Now, however, this is still an allegation, but my God Almighty, the likeness is on point. Not only that, the iconic skirt, rather kilt, has featured before for Perry in an image. So he is a person, Perry from the rock band, who wears kilts, and it is unfortunate, but it does look to be him.
I need a visual,
and I'm bringing it up here.
Am I gonna have to do my own googling like a chump?
Slowly but surely, I'm bringing up a visual. It's funny, like, this band mustn't be massive, right guys, because it's not massively easy to find an image of this person. But there is a video. You can't really see him there, so, but that's him.
No, I see the face. Gotcha.
And
very
this
light
image. How interesting. Moments before I arrived here, you could see him very, very clearly in this image I'm looking at here whole band in a cornfield. He's standing far left, and since then they have cropped him in half in the image.
Wow, they acted fast.
So another thing, he's obviously might have been at this before. They've turned off their comments on, I think somewhere this is on the TikTok, somebody has said they've turned off the comments. The band have turned off their comments. I'm not sure where that is.
Can I ask, on the what does the comment that identifies him say?
Here we go. The search. Oh, interesting. So I'm not seeing the literal
comment. Hold on. I have the comments here from
There was a clear comment, the first comment, it was the most liked comment. She must have deleted it. And it was like, please look up the band Hush Harbour. And I cannot see her comment anymore.
No, no, there was a comment there on that a second ago. I think it's just...
it's been pushed down.
Oh yeah, it's Stephanie Perry MacDonald from Hush Harbour. I believe his neck tattoo is new though, but the underbite, the kilt, if I see what the wife looks like. And then a lot of people saying, look up
Hush Harbour.
And now this is the thing with TikTok is it like, I know it's AI, reads videos and then it starts, the search bar will suggest things. So it's really easy. So if someone has mentioned that that is Perry MacDonald, the whole search bar,
you have a blue clickable search bar that says Perry from Hush Harbour.
Oh no.
And it's kind of, I mean, it's pretty incredible, but it does make you think about touching things all around the place. And do you remember there was loads of kind of people do be at this in supermarkets an awful lot. Do you remember the woman who was done for licking the top of ice creams? Of course we had the syringes in the strawberries movement that I don't believe ever actually happened, but it became kind of a hysterical American movement. And people have been poisoning food in supermarkets for years. And then there's the man. Do you remember this? I did this creep years ago. Yeah. He was obsessed with collecting parasites and spreading them. He saw himself as the sort of patient zero and became very attached to his various parasites and would intentionally spread them around the place. Like, I think he thread worms. He had lots of different things on the go. And he would sort of...
Yes, I remember.
Pick his bum where the eggs and the thread worm would be in place of places.
That phrase, Jen.
That's who he reminds me of, that gentleman.
Sorry, I'm now looking it up on Reddit. Have either of you been over to Reddit
to see?
I mean, this happened 5 hours ago, so it I'm sure it's there already, but it
Reddit
may not
want to be outdone by TikTok.
It
come
is
on, Reddit.
So...
And the subreddits will be wild.
It's so... I found a video now and a good look at this man's face. And I have to say...
The likeness.
Absolutely. Now, usually, you know me, I say that all men look the same and they're interchangeable. All same iteration, different iterations of the same design file, right? They're just minor changes.
Just different t-shirts.
Yeah, just different t-shirts. Yeah. Generally grey, charcoal, black, navy, whatever.
Same t-shirt then.
This man, I can categorically say, is the same man.
Now, careful.
Defamation, I know. But like...
It does. It's very unfortunate if it's not him. But by God.
It's either him or Phil Mitchell.
It is a damning video. It's the pleasure he's getting. He is so good at it. He goes in there with the intent to identify things to put up his bum. He's looking around at all the objects. He's saying, that's for me. I'll take a little bit of that.
And now it's just it's like the little... The little sprinkling of him being in a Christian rock band on top of this.
Wow.
One of my favourite genres that we've covered here are the journey from Christian conversion camp to someone who enjoys sticking things in their bum.
I mean, like, it's every time. It's every last one of them.
Mm.
That's what Christ is all about.
I'm very disappointed in Reddit.
It's just if Christ didn't want them to do it, there he is, cropped out of that photo. Jesus
Christ, they
wasted no time. You see,
Cass, like, only an hour ago, he was in the photo. It's not very Christian. It's very off-brand. Like, if he was just in a standard rock band, the lads would be like, ah, yeah, that's Perry at it again. And you could kind of go with it. You'd be like, he says he's sorry. We'll move on.
Yeah, when you click into their photo when you click into the photo on bandmix.com, I'm actually doing the creeps a solid. I'm going to put this photo on Patreon because we're going to monetize this man's.
Look, if something desperate goes on, I'll come back and delete the episode. But for now.
This is a main episode, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're dancing with the devil over here.
So, well, we're not the only ones. So
I just feel like there's still a few worse things you could get caught at. Well, I mean, obviously, like, you know, criminal behaviour where there's like another victim of it. But like, say in the kind of like, you know, just more day-to-day reprehensible behaviour. Like, there'd be worse things to get stung doing, I think, still.
Yeah, oh my God. Like, although I mean, this is bizarre behaviour. It's so unusual, but... Mm. Like, no, actually, looking at him a bit more...
Would getting caught wanking be worse than this?
Well,
or?
I mean, because I think anything where you have... your
image of you, or like image of you climaxing, like nobody
Now, nobody okay, I'm going to re-
does
I'm gonna
that re- with dignity.
I am going to retract my statement that it's definitely him, because he, the underbite of this man is not as distinctive as the underbite on Hush Harbour guy.
Drop it in the group chat.
Okay.
I'm trying to decide. Like, I don't think it'd be as bad for, like, to be masturbating, but I do think if your coming face got caught on CCTV, that would be pretty excruciating.
Do you think there was an ejaculate?
A little in the pants. Well, no, he's obviously not wearing underwear, as is traditional with kilts.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the true reason kilts exist.
No, that's going to offend all Scots people, and we do have some of them.
I think they would
have
be
we on this
very open-minded.
Have we told the story of the kilt at the wedding on this
and
podcast?
The skids we have.
Okay,
oh, man,
okay.
An epic. Okay,
are you sure, or was that at a live?
No, I'm pretty sure you've. I should do it again. Once more with feeling.
No, I can't.
From
no.
the top, Sophie.
Oh, I can't. Okay,
are you ready?
Yes.
So, spoiler alert, right? If you're thinking about watching a documentary called They Call Him Mostly Harmless, I'm going to spoil it for you. So you can do both. But I'd say now, if you're in that way, you might have come across a number of articles already about it. Have either of you heard about it yet?
No.
I'm very excited.
So this is a story, much like many stories we've told before, where a couple of internet sleuths become fixated on something in particular, a crime, and they go about trying to identify things, much like my previous story.
And putting them up their holes.
Well, yeah, I'm sure some of that took place, but let's travel back not that far, which is part of the reason why this story is so interesting, because what you've got, the protagonist in this story is a dead body. That...
Okay.
That dead body.
We all know this story. It's called Weekend of Bernie.
That dead body was looked for a long time to be unidentifiable. In 2017, an unheard of event in this here day and age of our Lord, the tech universe. How could it possibly be the case? All right, let's go from the top.
But they couldn't identify a body.
They didn't know who this guy was. So,
and it wasn't a skeleton, it was a body.
He was skeletal in the tent. So what I'm going to do is kind of jump around as resource sources here, because this guy, Nicholas Thompson, he was CEO of Wired. He's a big guy on the scene. He was, he kind of like, someone emailed him about this story, and he said to himself, how the fuck can someone be anonymous? How in the name of God can this guy not be identified? And so
I feel
what
like someone
he's
needs
done,
to tell him that that's happening all over the place.
I know, but wait till I tell you. I'm trying to set us up here, because I've got his. He initially wrote an article based on what the sleuths were doing. Then he wrote a kind of big summary of the whole story. And then this documentary is released. So I've done the documentary. I'm going to go back in and use most of Nicholas Thompson's most of the information is coming from his article. So he first heard of this guy by the name of Mostly Harmless, right?
Okay.
Back in 2017, after somebody rang the Wired tip line and said a body of a hiker has been found in a tent in Florida in the summer of 2018. Scores of amateur detectives. Now, we're talking about like, after his article came out, it was thousands. It was hundreds before that. Had been beavering away trying to locate this guy.
And so the body was nicknamed Mostly Harmless. It wasn't the person who got in touch with Robert.
He had named himself Mostly Harmless.
Oh,
so,
okay.
And the reason it gained traction.
The sleuth had named
the dead body.
Oh.
Had named himself Mostly Harmless.
Yes, because people. Okay, so picture
yes, sir,
this.
He's dead. Go on.
He's dead. He's dead now. But and then during the in two particular internet sleuths who'd been trying to locate who he was, had started posting kind of pictures because the body was found, and they created a kind of with his kind of completely withered away face, they were able to kind of build a reconstruction of what he may have looked like, and they had released some information, and that's what the sleuths were kind of churning around.
I'm being really stupid. The body is called Mostly Harmless, or the sleuth guy who got in touch with the journalist.
The body.
Who's mostly, okay. I'm back.
So during the time that the internet sleuths were like, here's the reconstruction of this guy's face. Does anybody know anything about this? This was along the Appalachian Trail. This is 22,000, I think, kilometers through America.
I'm obsessed with the Appalachian Trail.
Well-worn trail.
Oh, there's some great stories off that.
There's tons. It's a whole universe of interest. But what it is,
oh
is
my God,
a very...
their recreation of him is so funny.
It's truly horrifying, the recreation. Because what they obviously had was a skeletal face. And as we know, skeletons, some people call them, often come to rest with their mouth agape.
And the face is kind of, I mean, they haven't put a whole lot of skin on that skeleton. It's quite skeletal. It's giving Ozempic.
It is. It's giving Ozempic face for sure.
Yeah, he is, you know.
He's the OG. So the question was, who was he? So during the sleuths' internet, two massive Facebook groups, they were able to get information and photographs and even video of this guy along the trail because tons of people had met him.
Yeah.
So along the Appalachian Trail, many, many people will hike solo.
Yeah.
It seems to be a thing you might do if you were having a tough time.
Shit crack.
It could be something you do because you want to reconnect with nature. A lot of people do it for various different reasons.
Bill Bryson has a really funny book about hiking the Appalachian Trail with his college roommate, who's really annoying.
Amazing. I actually read that.
The whole book is just about how annoying
this guy
is.
That's really familiar, actually.
It's called A Walk in the Woods. Yeah. It's very good.
Guys, you have to stay with me. This is a long-ass story.
Also, I think Wild is...
No, we are.
Okay.
So, well, Wild would be part...
Was it Appalachian or was it Pacific Coast?
Oh, let me... I'll do the research over here.
We're with you. So now that we know who's mostly harmless, it just took me 10 minutes to work.
I still haven't quite got my head around that.
It's the body. They nicknamed the body Mostly Harmless.
No.
You said the body called himself Mostly Harmless, but the body was dead. So the man called himself Mostly Harmless before he died.
Exactly. And the reason we know this,
because he's anonymous,
is because of all of the people who met him along the trail.
So he introduced himself to people as Mostly Harmless, because that seems like someone who is harmless or harmful would say.
Well, I agree, but he was gorgeous. Right. They loved him.
Wait, I've seen that reconstruction. He's not gorgeous. It's terrifying.
Okay, stay with me.
Wild as the Pacific.
Oh, guys, this is going to be 4 hours long, this episode.
That's okay, sure. That's what we're here to do.
So during a trail, people will often adopt names like nicknames and use them. And it's kind of a thing with hikers.
Yeah, Chris McCandless was Alexander's Supertramp.
But I think any time you give yourself a nickname, it's lame.
I agree. But it is kind of part of the culture of the Appalachian Trail hiking crew. So the documentary interviews a number of people who met him along the way. That's the whole documentary. And then two of the sleuths who ended up in a massive feud together. So back into why he was called Mostly Harmless. We don't really know, but the person who he introduced himself to as Mostly Harmless was a red-headed gentleman having some nice internal thoughts sitting around a fire.
Jesus, sorry, I just saw the reconstruction. sorry Jeff, but you should lead with that.
So okay, back in when he was alive, Mostly Harmless was walking around the trail, meeting people, not trying to be invisible, being nice, sharing information, not any personal information, good listener, kind eyes, sharing his gear. He had stuff, he had loads of stuff, he had cash and gear. For a while, he was calling himself Denim.
Cool.
Okay.
The reason he was doing that was because trailers and hikers know this. I did not know this. That a jean is not an appropriate hiking apparatus.
It's truly not.
There's no wicking in it.
No.
So when people met this guy who was originally called, Denim became his name because he was not in the right gear. He had a gigantic backpack that was just too heavy. Like to a seasoned trailer hiker, they'd be like, this guy's new.
Yeah, he's green.
He's green, cool, whatever. And Denim was his name for that time. So we have a couple of sections of hikers. Like he met over 100 people who ended up being like, I met that guy.
Yeah.
But all the information they had was either Denim or Mostly Harmless. And he was happy to pose for snaps. Yeah, he was happy to do video interviews.
If you're doing a trail like that, like the Appalachian Trail, like I think can take about 2 months to do, but you're going the same direction. Yes. As like a whole rake of people.
Oh, very awkward.
You're catching up with each other and then you're losing each other. Then you might yes. catch up with them a few days later again. Sure. What podcast were we talking about when I talked about the cuddling that we the bunch of strangers?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Had to do when I was on like a multi-trail.
No, that's new. Go on, tell me that. That sounds like something different entirely. That sounds like the start of one of those dirty fanfics on the internet.
It was basically I was doing like a multi-night hike in New Zealand where like there's some of the most incredible ones in the world. And New Zealand's really kitted out for it. So basically they have these trails that like can be 4 or 5 days long and there is huts at intervals along the trail. Yeah. And the hut is kind of bare in terms of like there probably be no electricity. There's not really, there might be running water, but there wouldn't really be like a kitchen or anything like that. And then there might be kind of like bunks, but some of the bunks in these huts aren't individual bunks. They're like a giant bed shelf.
Why would that be a choice that someone has made? Why?
So one night, me and my friend Anne had hiked up to this hut. It was like there had been an early snow and it was fucking freezing. And basically everyone by like kind of general consensus agreed that we were all strangers here, but we were all going to have a big cuddle pile on the bed shelf because everyone was so freezing. Fucking freezing. And we basically took it in turns going in the middle.
Like emperor penguins.
It was essentially that. Cute. It's slash those lads in the Andes trying to keep each other warm, taking shifts on the outside.
Imagine you woke up and there's a guy in a kilt easing your travel spork into his bum.
Oh, so good. Okay.
All right, back in the mix.
Okay, so people were taking pictures with Mostly Harmless, chatting to him. He's a good listener.
And so began an explosion of interest from the Facebook, or from the Facebook kind of sleuth crime community.
Right.
Who, on one hand, fancied him. On the other hand, like because of all of these hikers, there's one trail angel, she called herself, who used to go out with tons of food and bits of treats for people, who liked going out and helping and like meeting people and doing chats. And she was like, he was a really good guy. There was a really interesting interview with a very kind of elderly enough woman. She had one enormous boob and one sort of smaller boob. But she was so nice and amazing, and she had a mullet. But she was just like, I don't really get on with people. Like, she finds herself roaming through the forest a lot of the time, and she rarely would connect, she says, with people. But she said this guy who was young and seemed to give her a bit of time, she just thought, that is a kind man. She got a lot out of her connection with him. So there was a lot of very invested individuals. Let's go back to your man, the CEO of Wired, who was writing about it, just baffled that this guy had no family looking for him, video and footage and, you know, of him.
And now they had reams of photographs.
Reams of photographs, all this kind of kind guy testimonial. But not only that, like, okay, let's give a kind of an overview of the way his body was found. So he had a little yellow tent, probably a two-man. He was found, a 911 call came through. Another hiker had found a body in a tent. He was 83 pounds, like completely emaciated.
83 pounds.
Very, 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 very skinny.
Oh my God.
And do you think he started off hiking in denim and he didn't know that, like, maybe he just started hiking and then realized this is shit.
But couldn't find his way home.
And just, he was like halfway through and he's like, either hike back or hike on. And he was just
this
like,
is what's so fascinating about this Appalachian Trail. You are like always within about 4 or 5 kilometres of houses and towns. Like,
really?
You're not in the middle of nowhere.
That doesn't even sound exciting.
There's points on the trail where you can bop off and go down and get supplies.
Oh yeah, there's
people post themselves things to arrive post offices in towns on the way. And
you
stuff.
Are
so that's
not
how they keep
in the middle of
gear.
Nowhere. Like, you pass through something like 15 or I think it's 22 states, US states. Mm-hmm. I mean, it isn't.
You're not passing through towns, but no, they're but off they're the all, trail exactly. and you can access them.
So the tent was found. The guy rings the police. Your man's like, look in there. Let's have a look. So we've got a bag. Like tons of food. We've got water.
This is crazy.
We've got a bag
pounds.
Of $3,600. We've
wow.
got so we cash money
okay.
and we and food and water and an emaciated body. No sign of any sort of.
It's like the size of an Olsen twin in there.
Yeah.
Or something. Jesus.
And no ID, no phone, and we have two notebooks.
And it's 2017, and he's no phone.
Yeah. Very right. strange. But so fingerprint.
But he could have been robbed.
He's someone who has decided, woken up one day and abandoned modern life and taken to the road.
He's totally Chris McCandless.
I'm going to tell you all about him.
Okay.
So his fingerprints were not in any database and his image didn't turn up any results, you know, when they ran through facial recognition. And I know his face didn't look like the face he probably had before. So it felt from finding the body to the police at the time that he was smart. He seemed to have his shit together. I mean, cash.
What's in the notebooks?
Well, that's the question.
Okay.
It was indecipherable up to a point.
Okay.
So the police.
Shit, how frustrating.
So the police in Florida, and where, did I say he was found in Florida? I think so. Where he was found, we're like, we're stumped. We have no information on this guy. So the detective in charge of the case was like, I am going to use these Facebook accounts. Like, there's so many people on there. I'm going to release the notebooks.
Yeah.
So
can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Which was, did they have a cause of death?
No.
Okay.
He had one scar on his body, a very, very long scar from in the sternum down
Whoa.
To his pelvis. And that was becoming part of, can you identify this guy?
Yeah.
Here's his scar.
What would that scar what surgery could that be? Okay.
I'll tell you about it. So he had this long scar. He had perfect teeth. So everyone was like, look, he was taken care of as a child. And he had signed in at a hostel under the name Ben Billamy, which was a red herring. Some of the sleuths decided with some sort of creative wizardry that it read in reverse as why me lib. And other people were like, look, that didn't go anywhere. So, who the fuck was he? And how could nobody identify him? So let's take a look into the notebooks. So if we look at, let me get a picture up here for you guys. Because this was kind of the beginning of what could have been his initial kind of, if anyone was able to figure it out, this would have been the moment they should have. They released the notebooks. It looked chaotic, like code. It wouldn't have made any sense to me looking at it, but it was recognized by programmers. And they were like, this guy's a programmer and this is code for this online strategy game by the name of Screeps.
Right. No way.
So what a weird thing
so
to
what
do.
Was it like a bunch of HTML, what's it called?
HTML?
HTML.
Oh, there's tons of different code languages. So I don't know. It was,
yeah,
it was
just
tons
Java.
Of different, it was just
like written out longhand.
Exactly.
Nuts.
Exactly.
Do you have a picture of the notebook?
Not without losing my place here.
Okay, hang on.
That was all released to the Facebook, and fairly quickly enough, programmers began to recognize it. They were like, okay, we know this. And they went through every possible user who had been on Screeps up until April 2017, which is when he headed off on the trail. So that was kind of, it led to a bit of a dead end. So they had bead on a user named Vahir. So V-A-E-J-O-R. So meanwhile, a woman Zahir had arranged for one of the country's leading isotope analysts to study the hiker's teeth. So this is just a separate individual who got sort of connected into this kind of quest to discover this guy, who set off on a mission herself to contact someone to analyze his teeth. And with the idea that maybe there'd be some kind of way to find out who he is.
Or like where he'd grown up. Exactly. Of something in the water.
Exactly. So, and then separately, this genomics company by the name of Othram had taken his DNA and started to do this cutting edge genetics analysis to try and identify him. Collier Counter had sent them bone fragments that they had extracted from him, his body, and they had begun searching for genetic similarities among people in their database to build sort of a tree of potential relatives, like 23andMe.
Can I ask, mm-hmm. just when he was found, was he a skeleton?
Not really.
Very, very thin.
He had died very thin.
Okay.
So yeah. He was found, I don't know how long.
The dream.
The goal weight.
He'd hit his goal weight.
So we're rolling
Guys,
on.
It's a main.
We'll stop that now. So let's see now. So at this point, they were all over the place with bloody hundreds of calls coming into the sheriff's station and tons of people thinking they knew who it was. Various leads that went nowhere. Oh, it went God. So far. This guy, this writer, had gotten a tip and had taken it upon himself to ring that person's family and said, "Hi, I think we found this individual who we believe is David. You're David." Crying ensues on the other end
oh
of the phone.
God,
he's like, "Okay, shit. It's all getting a bit real. Maybe I shouldn't have done that." Call comes back to him 20 minutes later. "That's not David. We found it. David's alive."
David's just in the next room, actually.
So on and on.
He's just been quiet. He's playing Minecraft.
On and on it goes until at 5:30 in the morning, your man's phone rings, and it was a person who he had received a tip months before from, and the person on the other end said Vance John Rodriguez. He texted two photographs that looked very like, mostly harmless. The nose was the same, ears, eyes with the dark circles around them. And he was like, "This is it. The mystery's solved." But then he thought back to his call he had. And he was like, "Right, well, someone's going to have to call this person's family." So
where they got the name from?
They got the name from this tip off.
Yeah. Okay. So somebody had called in and somebody been like, "This looks like Vance."
And been like, "Yeah, this is Vance John."
I love the way like dark circles around the eyes. I'd love to hear what kind of description somebody would cook up for me.
It's very pronounced dark circles under this guy's eyes. But
it's like, so she just looked really wrecked. Just looked like she hadn't slept in a decade.
You might remember the Screeps username was V-A-J-O. Vejo?
Yes.
But that's... this guy's name was Vance John. So V-A for Vance and J-O for John.
Uh-huh.
So he was like,
That's a bit more compelling than... So why me, Lib?
Flashback to the two feuding sleuths. Two women who were in fucking... deep, right? They both had their idea of who this guy was and they were convinced.
Okay.
They were at war with each other.
And like one of them thought one
of them originated as the moderator for this what was one massive account that split because of the war. So the documentary is a lot about their warring and what their interest, like how big this story became in their lives. But we'll go back in to the identification. So this guy, by the way, can I say, there were people so obsessed with this guy. Like they loved him. Like they built this whole fantasy idea of who this guy was.
Yeah.
Around, you know, these hikers kind of.
Their little casual encounters with
yeah.
him.
Yeah. He was a god. He was amazing. Who could he be? And had he been abandoned by, who's this horrendous family who aren't, who, why is no one looking for him?
Yeah.
How could he just disappear? So anyway.
How old did they think he was?
I think he was in his mid-30s.
Okay.
So off the journalist reached out to a couple of old friends of Vance's and girlfriends, and another person who confirmed his identity, who had worked with him. And the kind of puzzle had been solved then when Othram, that genetics company, had confirmed the DNA did match that of Vance's mum.
And Vance was known to play this game?
Well, Screep. I'll tell you, give you the skinny on Vance. So initially, the only people who would sort of talk to this journalist were a couple of ex-girlfriends. He had identified this Vance's family,
yeah,
and they wanted nothing to do with this.
What?
Yeah. The ex-girlfriends both told stories of a very bad man.
That is so interesting, how someone can go on a hike and be beloved by other people and then you get the real skinny.
Yes. Yeah. So we have documented kind of evidence of abuse from these two women.
Oh.
And we have a family who don't seem to care that he's been found dead and will not have, no comment was, came back from the journalist who was like, we found him. And he was like, what the fuck? So this guy, he was born in 76. He had a twin sister. He had a twin and an older brother.
If he was born in 76, he must have been a good bit older.
Well, this is 2017.
So he, that he was found. Would have been 40.
Yeah. So he was...
2017 was long ago.
He'd spoken in his kind of early years of friends of him in school about his father kind of hurting him, but... nobody seems to be clear on exactly how. When he was 15, according to his mates, he headed off into a field with a gun intending to kill himself, and he fired that gun into his stomach.
Jesus.
And he then lay bleeding on the ground and he decided, I want to live. And he kind of weakly raised his hand and a passing truck saw him and saved him. And the surgeries that followed were the cause of that scar.
Whoa.
The scar that had fucking intrigued the Facebook groups. At 17, he emancipated himself from his parents.
Right.
He lived then with a girlfriend for several years in his 20s. She said he was angry that his parents had institutionalized him after the near suicide. He would not talk about his parents except to say fuck them, she recalled. The journalist wrote to his parents and his sister like a couple of weeks after they had been told the news.
Mm.
And he just got one line back from his twin sister. My family has no comment.
Mm.
So he was a fairly gifted programmer. He was on a very big wedge. He was able to work very successfully in that area. But he would take swathes of time when he completely shut down and took himself completely away. Apart from the kind of abuse he inflicted on his partners, he had these kind of complete unplugs where he would disappear.
Mm.
And one of the girlfriends described him as he just lay down and went to sleep and no function for long swathes of time, no talking, no computer gaming, no nothing.
So like in the room he would
in
be
in the room, but he would also hike off and go.
Yeah.
So there were these kind of this history of disappearing for large swathes of time. He was exceptionally good at coding. He would code everything the hardest way possible. She described it as like if you're hiring Rembrandt to paint your bathroom, you know, it's going to be amazing, but it'll be over the top. So he was not a collaborative individual.
Right.
He would sit down, headphones on. He would listen to Rage Against the Machine and he would solve problems. And the more complex the problem became, the more comfortable he was in that world. He was quiet, but not... he was described as quiet, but not perversely so. So he was able to speak and he would attend parties, but he wasn't like the life and soul of the party, but he was there. He ate once a day. He ate pizza from Walmart or lasagna from this other place, wore black jeans, black shirt, a black trench coat, and he had long, long dark hair down to his waist. One day he cut it all off and he donated his hair to a cancer charity. He was definitely suffering from mental health issues. But that didn't take from, you know, the harm that he did cause to those women.
Yeah.
But that explains, oh my God, like one of them wrote on her Facebook page, before he had died, and I think just after they had split. Apartment, 950 a month. Bills, 300 a month. Standing up to the monster that beat you up emotionally and physically for 5 years, priceless.
Jesus.
So,
he
was, like, after Rodriguez was identified, after Vance was identified as the hiker, that woman who wrote that Facebook comment, her mum commented on to Facebook that this man was so abusive to my daughter, he changed her. So anyway, oh God, the absolute downfall of the Facebook groups, because the people who had identified or felt that they had built this kind of pseudo real relationship with him were sort of kind of inconsolable. And
they were like mourning like a person that had never existed.
Exactly. Mm. And the documentary goes through the people he met and how they'd felt they'd really connected with him.
Mm.
And then one of the questions they were asked towards the end of the documentary was like, well, what do you think now that we know that he wasn't what you thought he was? And you remember that amazing woman who was didn't have much social connections? Yeah. She was like, yeah, you know, I probably did project what I wanted. She was so fascinating. She was like, yes, I did project what I wanted to see there. It was like,
well,
yeah,
obviously, like, because he didn't know him.
But many of the others refused to believe it. They were like, I know who I met. And some of those Facebook people were like, we don't believe those women. It became a gross sort of thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was the internet, and no doubt the internet's going to internet. And,
yeah.
Quickly jump to victim blaming and misogyny.
Exactly. So, God, there's a lot. Anyway, so that's...
But you know, with that woman who, like, you were just with the small boob and the big boob.
Yeah.
Like,
I feel bad for saying that, but it's just...
It's one of her attributes. She said about herself? Or
no.
Did you just see her and think small boob, big boob?
I did.
Oh, that's weird. I thought she self-identified as someone who had a big boob, small boob situation.
No. We all have a big boob and say, small boob.
Oh, yeah.
No, both of mine are small. FYI.
One of mine's long.
Would you take one big one and stick with your own one? Just have the experience of at least one big boob.
I don't know.
Yeah,
nah,
I would.
Nah, like, because I've had really big boobs.
So
and
have I, actually.
They're actually annoying with, well, I found them just uncomfortable sleeping,
well, like,
and stuff.
Functioning ones are different.
Yeah.
Sure. However.
Anyway, you said was slightly kind of, I don't know if maladjusted is the kind of phrase, but like she found it hard to connect with people.
Yes.
And she connected with him.
Yeah.
And then he seems like a person who like definitely was extremely disconnected.
And yet and everyone he met.
But like that makes sense why she connected and he connected in a way, like maybe that's what she was kind of responding to in him was a sort of shared experience of we
otherness.
Are outsiders.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's funny, like, with everyone he connected with, the kindness seems to be the common thread that they experience from him. And
mad.
And somebody suggested then...
Was he trying to atone?
Or was the journalist, the CEO guy who suggested at the end, exactly, Sophs, was... His whole plan, because it looked like in the end that he had starved himself to death.
Yeah.
Was this an atonement? Jesus. Was it in some ways? Anyway, well, so that is the story of Mostly Harmless.
That was fascinating.
It's very interesting. I recommend the documentary.
They named him Mostly Harmless.
He named himself.
Sorry.
Back
it's
to that.
Just
right,
incredible.
Back to that. So they give themselves nicknames on the thing.
Of course.
So
I'm
he
sorry.
Decided mostly. No, he was obviously grappling with something. Because
he was trying to shake Dennis.
Because I was about to be like, isn't it amazing?
They called him that.
They
knew.
Called him that. And then.
Yeah.
Transpires not harmless at all.
Now I can understand why
was
you like the
wild ride.
I mean,
thank
difference
you.
Well,
thank
between
you
to the people who.
Can I ask, you know,
work?
The two.
Now
women
seeing
who...
him, sorry, just what he looked like before when he was in tech.
Yes.
Yeah. You would not immediately recognize him based on his hiker appearance. But seeing the link between him in tech, hiker, and the little filled in reconstruction in between, not that bad now in context.
Not that bad, Cass.
Well, now it feels like that reconstruction isn't so much a reconstruction, but like an artist's rendering of what this body looks like, because they couldn't show the actual face of the body, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Because it was too disturbing.
There was skin on the body.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so it seems like some poor fucker had to paint or draw that.
Yes.
And we shouldn't mock their efforts, because I'd say that was
challenging.
A rough job. But you know the two women who were sleuthing and feuding?
Fucking, it's just, it's amazing television. Okay, the two women
there isn't
who
like
were
a resolution there, like
not remotely.
Okay,
so like at the end, for instance, there was one Chrissy who was very like a person who was looking after her adult sister. They were living in like they were living in like what looked like a part like a hotel. They didn't have a great setup, right? Mm. They were definitely hard up and not no beans, I'd say. She had dedicated her life to this. Chrissy mm. had. But she was just, she had become completely poisoned by the power. Mm. So she had become very like rude and aggressive to the people who were, because she was the moderator of the group.
Right. The like the power messages, corrupts always.
The power corrupted her, right?
Yeah.
So at the end, because she had identified him incorrectly, she was very, very upset. She was upset with herself and she felt that she had been receiving messages calling her stupid and she was embarrassed and upset.
Yeah.
And then she was kind of grieving a person she sort of had a fantasy love affair with as well.
Yeah.
And then at the end, right, so her interview at the end, it's a brilliant ending.
I'm going to watch this.
The interviewer is like, so, you know, considering this is the end, like what's kind of, what do you plan on doing now? And she's like, well, sure, I'm already on to the next thing. And her phone goes, right, in the room.
Yeah.
And she's like, sorry, I just need to take this. And she heads towards the door with the phone. And she said, I wish I could get it verbatim up here. It's something like, oh, I'll have to get it. It's like, she takes the phone call. She's going, oh no. She just goes, Tiffany's been beheaded. End of scene.
What?
End of documentary.
Oh no, I'm not laughing at Tiffany.
Oh, they can't.
I need to find it.
Oh, we don't. I think the document. Like, I went back
so
into
that was
Reddit.
The final.
And I was
line.
Like, does anyone know what the fuck? What she's onto next? Like, who's Tiffany? And no one knows. Like, we don't. That could have been.
Could have been a cat.
What a yeah. great ending.
Exactly. But it
oh, hold on, I have it here. I wonder, can I find the last? It's like the final scene.
The very last, the last
oh
line is God. Is that. It's great. But again, it's still, we're not left with any sort of, like, you know, yes, the internet sleuths did eventually hive mind an answer to to who he was, but to what end, you know?
Yeah.
Stirred up a load of kind of sadness for
okay,
his.
Okay, I think I have it here.
Oh, yeah. Like, in the, like, is it any use? Oh, here.
Hey, Mrs. Young, what's going on?
Oh, no, sorry, that was too far gone.
Oh. No, wait.
Experiences.
Cass, I think that was it.
What's going on?
Oh, I'll be able to see if I'm looking on. Hang on. That's, no, you've gone too far. Go back there.
That is quite possible. Yeah. I'm going to do this thing that I've been dreaming of doing my whole life, which is opening my own thing.
I didn't know you could do that.
I am glad I saw this to the end. Jesus. I really am.
Oh, God.
I think when I found him, I found me.
Beautiful.
Well, she's an asshole.
And realize this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And that's a very powerful thing.
That's Chrissy the sleuth.
This is what I'm supposed to be doing.
It's coming. Well, maybe it's past this. Oh God, sorry everyone.
Now, I saw that message. I'm going to tell you this. I'm in front of a filming camera right now.
The power.
Yeah.
What? I gotta walk out.
Wait for it.
She's got a story. Tabitha was decapitated.
Sorry, I got that wrong.
Tabitha was decapitated.
Tiffany was beheaded.
Sorry, I know. Oh my God, this is perfect. This is going to go out today. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. I have a date with this lady tomorrow night.
Oh my God.
Thank you for listening. If you want more, come and join our Patreon. It's full of gas stuff. And what have we got for this Thursday?
I don't even know if I should say it on mic because maybe we need to discuss.
Why?
I don't know.
Say it.
Where?
Okay.
We've got juice anyway.
We've got juice. We'll see you over there.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.